Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, in the last segment, we heard from retired Senator Olympia Snowe about what ails Washington. Time now to turn to what ails politics in Massachusetts. Here to do that is John Carroll, scribe behind the Campaign Outsider blog and a professor of mass communications at Boston University. John, good to see you again.
Always good to be here, Meghna.
So what ails politics in Massachusetts? Item number one, Lieutenant Governor Tim Murray. He announced this afternoon that he will resign on June 2nd. Here he is in a press conference just a little over an hour ago.
In January, I made a decision with my wife not to seek political office in 2014. I said at that time, the next chapter of my life needed to be focused primarily on family.
Well, with all due respect, isn't that what they all say about family?
Sure,
but John
is.
Murray's had some difficulties of late, hasn't he?
Yeah, there was that weird car crash, early morning car crash in 2011, in which Tim Murray may or may not have been wearing footy pajamas. We still haven't sorted that out yet. He won't reveal his phone records. He was apparently on the phone and going 108 miles an hour. So there was that, which is always going to be a shadow over his head. But he's got an even bigger shadow in terms of his relationship with former Chelsea housing chief Michael McLaughlin, who has pleaded guilty to felony, has agreed to cooperate with the law enforcement, and basically was a very close friend of Tim Murray's, who probably knows has a lot of skeletons in his closet.
Well, and the felony that Michael McLaughlin pleaded guilty to had to do with concealing his salary, which was enormous, and he's going to be sentenced on June 14th and is required to cooperate as a condition of his plea. So, I mean, take us through what Tim Murray's association with McLaughlin was again.
They've been very close, and apparently McLaughlin was a fundraiser for him. So the question is, you know, were there irregularities in terms of fundraising for Tim Murray and on the part of Michael McLaughlin and others associated with him? So this is something that's still under investigation. I don't think resigning from the lieutenant governor post will make him immune to Martha Coakley if she decides to go after him. But it does distance him from Deval Patrick, and that's a sort of a subplot that hasn't gotten a lot of attention, but it could be Deval Patrick is saying, this might be a good time for you to go. Here's a soft spot to land.
Right, because Governor Patrick still has a solid year of governing left in front of him.
And still has a future in politics, which most people agree Tim Murray does not.
Right. Well, as you mentioned, a grand jury is looking into those allegations involving McLaughlin. And Tim Murray was asked about that in his press conference this afternoon. And here's his response when a reporter said, hey, does your resignation have to do anything with those concerns regarding the Chelsea Housing Authority? So here's Tim Murray's response.
No, I don't. And this is completely about my family and about a job that provides an opportunity, a unique and special opportunity.
So, John, we ought to say that Murray's diving out of politics, but he's got a unique and special opportunity with the Worcester Chamber of Commerce.
That would be the Worcester Regional Chamber of Commerce, please. You want to bookmark that audio because we may be revisiting that at some point in the future. Tim Murray's claim that this had nothing to do with the investigation. He does have, he's moving from 125,000 a year job to a $200,000 a year job, so he gets a nice bump in pay. But I think this is the white flag for him. I think he realized that he's going nowhere in politics at this point, and he might as well grab onto an opportunity that he says came to him that he did not seek. You can take him at its word on that or not.
And again, that being a $200,000 a year opportunity with
exactly.
The Worcester Regional Chamber
Thank
of
you very
Commerce.
Much.
Well, let's move on to statewide politics, and that, of course, involves the Senate special election. 5 weeks away now, and things are really ramping up on the airwaves regarding those political ads. Both Democratic Congressman Ed Markey and his Republican challenger Gabriel Gomez have released some new television ads. So let's listen to the latest from Ed Markey's campaign.
Gomez is against banning assault weapons.
I don't believe that we need to do an assault weapon ban.
And Gomez is against banning high-capacity magazines like the ones used in the Newtown school shooting.
I don't believe that you should have a limit on the high-capacity magazines.
The more you know, the clearer the choice.
So once again, that ad from Edward Markey's campaign released last Friday. The Massachusetts Republican Party fired back yesterday, releasing this ad on behalf of Gabriel Gomez.
Negative ads from Dirty Ed Markey, smearing Gabriel Gomez. Now, Markey actually blames Gomez for the Newtown shooting. Disgusting. 37 years in Congress, Dirty Ed Markey.
So, John, it's gone negative. Is it going to stay negative for the next 5 weeks?
Sure, absolutely. And there are risks on both parts or for both candidates here. Ed Markey, this is the second time Ed Markey has invoked the Newtown school shootings in advertising, which is very unusual. They invoke it very often in speeches, politicians, but to use it in advertising can leave you open to charges of opportunism and sort of crass utilization, exploitation of that tragedy. Gabriel Gomez, for some reason, approved of the ad that was financed by the Massachusetts Republican Party. I don't think he had to do that. And why he did that is a real mystery to me, because what you want is an arm's length distance from these kinds of attacks. Gabriel Gomez, if he's going to succeed, needs to appeal to women and independents the same way Scott Brown did. Scott Brown had to do his own dirty work. Gabriel Gomez doesn't, because he's not committed to a People's Pledge.
Right.
So he should be looking for third parties to come in and do that, distance himself from that. I have no idea why he would go on and approve that ad.
Well, as you said, let them do the dirty work,
right,
and maintain squeaky clean, so supposedly images.
And also that sort of bipartisan, moderate image that he wants to cultivate, so that he can bring in some independence. This is a very short race. It's 5 weeks. It's going to be a very low turnout race. A lot of it's going to be about mobilizing your supporters.
Well, so that People's Pledge, a reminder that you told us that Gabriel Gomez didn't accept it, meaning he would allow third parties to campaign essentially on his behalf, leads me to this question that money really matters in a short race. And is that what we're seeing now on the airwaves?
Absolutely. Money is going to be a major issue here. And there has been some talk about the national Republicans not getting behind Gomez, and sort of a little bit of surprise because they were so strongly in favor of Scott Brown and supporting Scott Brown. John McCain came to town the other day. You know, that was good for Gomez. But what Gomez really needs is an infusion of money here. I don't think he can necessarily match Markey dollar for dollar. And I think that he needs some serious national money behind him if he's going to be able to sort of get over the hump. Markey, this is a Democratic state. Markey has a built-in advantage. It's a real uphill battle for Gomez. He needs every dollar and every weapon he can get.
Right. I wonder how much we're going to see a replay of 2010, because Scott Brown's race really picked up steam in terms of money pouring in from out of the state in the last couple weeks of that race.
That was because he basically caught the Democrats napping. And the Democrats are not napping this time. They're snapping.
Yeah, Michelle Obama is expected to be back in town by the end of the month.
They are taking this very seriously. And they've got a candidate who has one real built-in weakness, which is he's the establishment candidate. And that's one of the things that hurt Martha Coakley. That's one of the things that Gomez is trying to take advantage of, that this guy is so embedded in the D.C. culture that he's never going to do anything that's going to basically inconvenience the lobbyists and the special interest money. That's a strong selling point for Gomez. The more Michelle Obama comes in, the more the National Democrats come in, the more it reinforces the fact that this guy is sort of the party pick. And that can work to his advantage. It can work to his disadvantage. It all depends on how well Gomez exploits it. Scott Brown exploited it really well in terms of Martha Coakley. We'll see how Gomez does.
So the Democrats may have learned from their mistake in 2010, but in 2012, with Elizabeth Warren's win, they had a national presidential election to ride on, sort of into Washington. They don't have that again this time around.
No, they don't. And they also had a prodigious fundraiser in Elizabeth Warren. I mean, that was startling to everyone involved. They don't have that this time, but they have a machine the Democratic machine that should be able to turn out a significant number of voters, enough to put Markey over the hump. I, if you're an odds maker, you have to say that this is a real tough slog for Gabriel Gomez. Not that he can't do it. He can do it. But this whole idea of the Scott Brown factor, which sort of sounds like a 60s British invasion band, right? the Scott Brown factor worked when Scott Brown ran against Martha Coakley. That's the only time that worked. And it's not going to work again. Gabriel Gomez has to figure out what's the Gabriel Gomez factor and try to figure out his equation, because he can't just run on the playbook that Scott Brown ran on.
Well, I will always leave myself open to be surprised by the Massachusetts electorate, no matter how old and cynical and wizened I get. How about that, John?
Love them that way. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, John Carroll is the scribe behind the Campaign Outsider blog and a professor of mass communications at Boston University and a frequent political analyst here at Radio Boston. John, always great to have you.
Thanks, Magna.
And stay with us. Coming up, the latest on the FBI shooting of a man in Florida being questioned about the Marathon bombing. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.